نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تعالى في القران المجيد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد مادن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي البر البر اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحابي ووالد وسلم أما
The human being who does not know where he is going, the human being who doesn't know his destination, doesn't matter how much he travels, doesn't matter how many years he's on a journey, and in front of him or near to him, he doesn't have a predetermined endpoint. He hasn't selected a destination. Then he can never be successful, that person, because he doesn't have an endpoint. He doesn't have a destination. So all of us, we are on a journey. We are all musafir. And all of us are on a journey to the hereafter, the akhirah. Safar. So if we are musafir, journeymen, the journey to the hereafter. So the first question is then, what is our destination? What is our objective? If a person doesn't know what his objective is, then it doesn't matter what he's doing, but then how will he arrive to his destination if he doesn't know where he's going? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Hakim, the noble Quran, Allah ta'ala clearly stated, خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says that either we're jinn or we're insan. One of the two. So let's have a look now. What are we? Yes, there are jinn. Yes, there are even jinn who come in the appearance of human beings. A person doesn't know who's a jinn or who isn't. Yes, so there's no differentiation there. So the difference between jinn and insan is that Allah Ta'ala says that he can change his form. Allah has given the power. A jinn can become insan, sometimes an animal, sometimes a snake, sometimes a different animal, different form. Sometimes he's sitting in the form of a human being. He becomes your friend. He eats food with you as well. He does everything similar to you. You don't know that he's a jinn. He'll sit with you and do dhikr, and you don't realize, subhanAllah. So the difference is this, that both makhluq creation are such that mukallif, Allah Ta'ala has, that the third are the angels. Allah Ta'ala says, they're in my control. They're in my control. And beyond that, nobody can do, the angels can't do beyond what Allah Ta'ala has given them the function. But this makhluq, jinn and insan, the human beings and jinn, for them Allah Ta'ala has given them different unique characteristics. So either we're jinn or we're insan, whatever we are. But if we're musafirs on the journey, then we should know what is our end point, our destination on the journey. So what's our destination? Allah says, خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have one destination, remember this. One objective. It's not fasting, not hajj, not zakat, nothing. This is not the end point. These are the means to the end point. These are the ways to the end point, to attain the destination. It's not the objective. Sometimes the human being, he gets lost in the way, on the route, and he forgets his end point. Yes, sometimes when we use the means and the ways, we get lost. We don't know the end point. Why am I praying? Doesn't even know why he's praying. I'll tell you that if you're praying salah, and if you're praying salah and you're praying for the end point, then the first thing you'll do is that after you finish salah and you do dua, what will you ask Allah? You'll ask, what is your end point? Because you're praying salah for that reason. So tell me, put your hands up and tell me, how many people do this first dua after salah? Ya Allah, my business. Ya Allah, my child, correct him. Ya Allah, get me married. Ya Allah, give me children. This is not the destination. This is not our objective. This is not the case. So we have forgotten our objective. So these gatherings that we get together, these majalis of dhikr, they remind us of our objective. That's why we come to. So at least come to this gathering, say, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. So these gatherings, majalis, remind us, and we run away from these gatherings. Rather, when you remind someone, he gets upset. Why are you telling me? Why are you telling me to come here? I don't understand what he's talking about. If you try to understand, then inshallah you'll understand. If you try to understand. So the first point is that if we are looking for the objective, then definitely our dua, that we are lost in the way, in the route, we keep the fast. Why are you keeping the fast? Because to attain the objective. You say, no, I'm looking at thawab, the rewards, left and right. Thousands of stories and tales. You're doing hajj, thousands of tales and stories. But we don't look towards our end point, destination. Our situation should be such that we should be so busy in our end point. Just like, for example, when you're on a road or a pavement and you ask somebody, you'll ask everyone, tell me, where's this house? Where's this place I'm going to? Oh, I need to meet this person. Few times you will have had that experience. Suddenly the car stops. Assalamu alaikum wa alaykum salam. Yeah, can you tell me that house number? Do you know where that is? So, no, I don't know where this. Oh yeah, if you turn left there, right there, and he starts turning, that poor brother who's on the journey. Doesn't look anything else. Why? Because in reality, he's looking for his end point, objective. And he asks everyone on the way because he's concerned. He's distressed. He's in need. He's in need. We don't even ask Allah. The Allah prayed, Salah, give me the destination, Allah. So one point, now record it. It's a point that from now on, whenever you utilize the means and the resources, first do dua for what? For your end point, destination. What's the destination? Khalaqal jinna wal insa illa liyabudun. Every mu'min has one destination, objective, Allah's pleasure. That's our objective, Allah's pleasure. Do you understand, Radha? Allah's Radha. We have to please our Mawla, our Creator. That's our destination, to desire that, to request that, to have that desire. This is called Raza. So when you pray Salah, first dua we have to ask and beg Allah, Allah, I've prayed Salah, Allah, please accept Allah, I prayed it, Allah, so that you can be happy with me. I have no other need and no other objective. All the other things, my needs. If Allah becomes happy, then He knows everything. Allah knows everything. Why do we run after other things? Allah, give me this, give me that, do this for me, do this, that for me. Look for the genuine thing. Allah, if you're happy, then all my issues are sorted and my life is sorted. Allah, if you are happy. So the genuine desperate need we have is that Allah, I want your happiness. Allah's happiness and pleasure. This is our objective. This is our destination. Here, another point I'd like to explain to you. That this is our exam. We're in an exam. We have to earn Allah's pleasure. This is our exam. We have to attain Allah's pleasure. Whoever has attained Allah's pleasure has passed the exam. In this world, he's passed the exam. And whoever does not attain Allah's happiness and pleasure, he has failed the exam. So pass and fail is based on the exam. The exam. So every exam has a notes. You know the notes. Revision. Yeah, what is the definition of exam? A test. A test and an exam is that thing for which to attain the success in the exam test, there are restrictions, hurdles. And the person who makes those hurdles and restrictions, overcomes them, then he passes the exam. Yes? Maybe explain a bit more. That, for example, if there's no hurdle, no restriction, then there's no exam, there's no test, is there? For example, that you want to pass a test or an exam. So at that time, it will become an exam or a test when it's difficult. When you eliminate those hurdles, those restrictions, and you attain the end point, if the book is open in front of you and you see the exam paper in advance and the theory and all the questions are told to you beforehand, is that an exam? Is that a test? That's not a test. That's just easily you'll pass because it's exposed. And it's exposed and you'll have all the knowledge. So my brothers, this dunya is an exam for us. It's a test for us. Understand this big point. So when this life in this world is a test and exam, to pass this exam, Allah Ta'ala hasn't exposed everything to us openly and clearly. So to pass this test and exam, so Allah Ta'ala says to pass this exam and test, there are some hurdles that you will confront in your life that will come in front of you. And the human being who overcomes and jumps over those hurdles and goes through these small tests, then he has passed the big exam and he has arrived to his destination. Yes? That's when a person gets to the end point. So those hurdles and restrictions in this world, in reality, they are based on Allah's wisdom and hikmah, and for this reason, so that we can break those hurdles and restrictions, those barriers. Let's break those barriers. Let's jump over those barriers. Let's overcome those hurdles and restrictions, move the restrictions out of the way, and so that we can reach to Allah. What are the hurdles? In the world there are many barriers and restrictions that stop us getting to Allah. What are they? Wealth, love for the wife, love for the children, love for your shop, love for your business, illness, distress and sorrow, difficulties, shaitani thoughts, shahwat and passion and women, etc. All of these things are the restrictions, hurdles that prevent us getting to Allah. Allah says that if you break down these barriers and eliminate them and come to me, then you'll realize that you passed the exam, the test. Yes. Otherwise, if there's no restriction or hurdle, then where's the exam? Where's the hurdle? Where's the test? Then you'll just come quickly into Jannah. Allah says, you passed, there's no restriction. But Allah says, I've given you an exam, I created you to pass the exam. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْمٍ. Allah says, everything around you is attached to the exam, and you will have different exams, different tests, different questions, different experiences. Don't be upset with Allah when you get barriers. Don't be upset with Allah's kitab. What is this hukam? What is this order Allah has given? Oh, there's a difficulty here. Oh, I can't succeed here. I want to do this. I can't do this. And I'm so ill now. Why is this happening to me? These are hurdles. And you have to overcome the hurdles, the barriers, the difficulties. Keep on overcoming them. Keep on removing them. Keep on breaking them down. When you remove them and eliminate them, then you pass the test. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, hunger will come, and poverty will come, distress will come, fear will come. So many issues will come in your life. Allah says, I'll present them to you. But the enjoyment is that become a true man, that overcome all these hurdles and arrive to me. Allah says, come to me. So when we start criticizing, why has this happened to me in my life? Why have I got problems? Why have I got issues? No, this will happen. This is the life in the world, and the world is an exam. Dunya is an exam. There's difficulties. And you have to overcome these difficulties. All of us, each and every one of us, wherever they come. So Allah's karam and grace is such. Allah's grace is such that despite all difficulties, barriers, and Allah has then given us the method to overcome the problems as well. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah's grace and blessing. Allah says, I've given you tests in the world, but I've given you clues how to overcome them. For example, when you have an exam, prior to the exam, I've forgotten that terminology. You know, when I used to have exams and tests, they gave a hint. The examiners give a hint that if you do this, they give you tips and tools to overcome. When this problem comes, Allah says, do this, you'll pass. When this hurdle comes, overcome it this way. Do this. Allah gives us advice. So when the human being adopts the advices of Allah, then those difficulties that come our way, he jumps over them, bypass them. So instead of us talking rubbish, nonsense, why has this happened, crying, complaining, lamenting, rather than doing that, then when you are confronted with the hurdles, then utilize the method that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to you. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. May Allah allow that I can explain to you what I'm trying to say. Yes, so this is practical words, amal and life I'm speaking to you about. We need to do this. And very great discussion I'll have with you today. Great discussion. Yes, so practice on this, inshallah. So, never understood what I've said right till now, that the life in this world is an exam, and if it's not an exam, a test, there cannot be an exam in which there are no difficulties or hurdles. So Allah Ta'ala says, this world we're living in is the place of test and tribulation and trials, and what we need to do when we're faced with these trials and tests, we have to overcome them and break them down, the barriers, and then Allah says, when you do that, you'll arrive to my nearness and you'll be successful. That's the summary. And Allah has given us clues and hints that to overcome all the difficulties, Allah says, I'll tell you the method, the way that how you can solve this problem, take help from this, take assistance from this. Allah says, you'll keep on getting my help and assistance, and then you'll overcome all the issues in the world, in your life. So whose mistake is it? What is our mistake is we don't take the lessons Allah has given us. We don't look for the solution. That for this problem, what's the solution Allah has given? That if I want to do this and succeed in this, what is the solution? If this difficulty comes in my life, what is the way to get around it? So that when you look for the way to get around it, you can break down the barrier, and then you can attain Allah's radha, pleasure, which is our objective of life. Say Subhanallah. So you understand what I'm saying up to now? Okay, my brothers. So from all these barriers in life, there's another barrier, which is a very unique barrier, hurdle, that comes our way. And 99%, in other words, most of people, they are muttaqis and practicing people, pious people, all of them, they get stuck in this hurdle, this trap. This trap that I want to talk to you about today. So we have come, we are minor people, smaller scale, but even if you go to the pious people, they get stuck with this barrier. It's just such a barrier, hurdle, that it stops a human being from all other things. And he doesn't even know that what is stopping me. He knows that there's a problem here. He speaks about it, he says his name, but he ignores it, he doesn't accept it. With enjoyment, he laughs. with enjoyment he laughs, and very easily he just accepts it as a problem and he doesn't focus on it. It's so dangerous. If you focus on everything, the thing that stops us from success is this thing. And we know that it's very beneficial for us. Who doesn't know this? Tilawat of Quran is such a beneficial thing. Everybody knows, isn't it? Recitation. Well, who doesn't know that the dhikr of Allah gathering is a great beneficial thing for us? La yishka julusum. There's a hadith, time and time again I repeat it with you, that such a great thing it is that doesn't matter if you're a dirty, impure, sinful person and you sit with the niyyah in that gathering, Allah Ta'ala says you cannot leave that gathering empty handed, you are into paradise. So this is good news for all of you today. MashaAllah, this majlis Allah Ta'ala has established, and this people like me, us sinful people like us, we've all sat down, pious people have sat down, Allah puts the stamp of approval, because Allah Ta'ala's promise is genuine. When you wake up in the hereafter day of judgment, Allah said, I forgave you in that majlis, in that gathering, and I took you to that gathering for that reason, so you could get forgiveness. Oh, the hadith teaches us, who can reject this fact that whoever comes to the majlis of dhikr is forgiven. So it's Allah's fazl and blessings and grace that He has sent us here, and we don't even know we're forgiven. We'll get so many rewards. But that person, many times I can share with you stories and events, the true stories in the dunya of people who've experienced this. In the dunya, Allah Ta'ala can show this as well. So what happens then? Is that such a great thing? By such a thing that action even stops us from getting that benefit. And we know it's stopping us. Tahajjud, what a great salah. Great deed. Not difficult. And this thing, this problem also stops us from tahajjud. It stops us from ishraq. And leave all of this. Even if you have come to pray salah, and you've just prayed the fard salah, and then you run away, you don't read the sunnah, etc. Because this action also stops us from doing that. And big people, pious people, stop doing that. They don't know the nawafil salah, how much thawab Allah has given for nawafil salah. And tomorrow will be desperate for the nafil salah. It's not difficult to pray nafil salah, but it's such a dangerous action, it stops us from praying the extra prayers. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, so there's a restriction. It's such a big restriction. It stops us from many things. And if we want to get rid of this restriction, we will then, if we do that, we'll get Allah's nearness. So this is the root today, cause of us getting far from Allah. We need to remove this. We don't know when we're going to die. We need to make niyyah today. Allah, we want to please you. Allah, we want your raza. So to please Allah, any restriction that comes away, we need to eliminate him. Whatever Allah Ta'ala tells us to do, we need to implement it. We need to practice it. Why don't we practice? They're because of this restriction, this hurdle that I'll share with you today. Yes? When I name it, all of you say, oh, we knew about this. Shall I tell you the name of that hurdle, that restriction, that barrier that we all face today? Shall I tell you what it is? Very easily we talk about it. And the name of that barrier is laziness. Say subhanallah. Yes, even the youngest child here will laugh, he'll smile. Even he understands. Because even my words, the children, they listen with happiness to what I say. The children. Yes? So even that makes, even the young child, he'll say, oh, from the youngest child, the smallest child, to the oldest person, even the biggest muttaqi and pious elder, that he loses out and gets affected by laziness and negligence. What a dangerous hurdle it is. And look how the walis of Allah get to the depths of the problems for cure. We say, oh shaitan, he's stopping me. Oh shaitan tells me not to do this. Oh servant of Allah, why are you trying to dishonor shaitan? There are many sicknesses. Get hold of the sicknesses within you. Listen carefully. Why don't you pray salah? Oh yaar, I'm too lazy. We say this, don't we? Why didn't you read Quran today? Oh, I felt like it, but I was just lazy. I couldn't feel like it. Why don't you pray the complete salah? Oh, I feel like praying the complete salah, but I just prayed fard, but I'm just lazy. I don't feel like praying the rest. Is this not the main topic on our agendas today? What a big disease, laziness. I don't feel like the dhikr of Allah come. Oh, try, but I'm just lazy. I don't feel like it. What a great deed. Who's stopping you from praying tahajjud? Allah says, tahajjud salah, there's no greater salah. At that time, I hear Allah says, I listen to you. Ask me what you want. All nafal salah, it is the king of all the nafal salahs, tahajjud salah. But 99% of people are in the prayer. Tahajjud, I'm lazy, I don't feel like it, I can't get up. Oh brothers, the grave is always crying out for you. It's calling you. We're getting closer to the grave. Will laziness help you in the grave, or will these actions help you in the grave? Tell me, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying? May Allah allow us to understand. Have you understood what I'm trying to say? Yes. So if laziness goes far from us, if we get rid of laziness, then 99% of us will succeed. We sat at home. I know there's a zikr majlis tonight. I'm lazy. don't feel like. Wife is saying, why don't you go to the majlis? Oh, no, no, I don't feel like it today. I'm feeling lazy today. Inshallah, from morning, tomorrow I'll go. Tomorrow. That laziness is such a thing. It attacks the human being. That the most pious person, it destroys him. And how does it destroy him? Tell me. That tahajjud time, lazy. One tahajjud salah, subhanAllah. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, I'll share with you his event. What ibadat he had. Imagine his mujahidat, his struggles, his efforts, how he did dhikrullah, how he recited Quran. Imagine his deeds, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, and his marifat, his nearness to Allah. And forget Tawa Salah. Imagine his salahs, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, when he was asked while he was after he passed away. Look, many things you learn after a person passes away, dies. And somebody said, Hazrat, tell me, what happened with you after you died? How did you get treated? He said, I'm grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala just forgave me. All of my deeds were put to one side. The thing that Allah Ta'ala liked about me was one thing. That 2 rakah salah I used to wake up in the night and pray, Allah accepted that. Subhanallah. So this is Allah Ta'ala wanted to share with us so that we understand what was that action with us? Laziness, negligence, ignorance. O servant of Allah, what is the answer to this laziness that has destroyed the whole world today? That when the grave, we will go into our grave, what will happen then? That why didn't you do this action? Why didn't you do that? I was lazy, I didn't feel like it. Oh, I was so lazy that time, didn't feel like it. Will you be lazy from today? Even then we'll do it, won't we? Yes, as I said to you, that Allah Ta'ala is Kareem and Masool, He's given us a solution. He's given us a solution. So today, shall I tell you the solution, the cure for laziness? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look, what a big disease, severe disease. If we get the cure for laziness today, it's like, for example, that there's a severe cancer spread today. If we find the cure, then 100% cure is announced in the whole world. There'll be adverts, all cancer, the cure's come. We found it. And so nobody listens to Allah. But when they announce that come, Allah announces, let me give you a cure for a disease of the hereafter, that you'll attain Allah's pleasure. Nobody cares. Nobody cares because we don't have the desire. We don't have the taste. We don't have the want. All our hearts feel, I want to pray salah, I want to be pious, I want to pray tahajjud. Because we have iman, we have faith. It's not that we don't want it. We all want it. We'd like it, and our heart feels like it. And we feel like coming, but because it's such an injection of laziness and negligence that's been injected into us, that we don't come towards it. Let's today listen to the cure. Let's take the cure today. This, what is the cure for this disease? It's a unique cure. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, via his du'as, he gave us the cure for laziness. Du'a is not a waste of time. The du'as, the kitabs of the du'as, the books of du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, they are such great treasures, the books of du'as. And for the ummah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given education to his ummah via the du'a, such a great ta'aleem and such a great cure for the ummah that nobody can imagine. Via the du'as. The pious predecessors have stated that Allah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the du'as that he recited in his life, and the so many times, high quantity, he recited one du'a. So many times over. And in that du'a, the biggest du'a, the so many times repeatedly he did du'a for this thing, which is the biggest barrier and dangerous thing for a human being. And what is that? Laziness. Laziness. What is it that through which laziness is eradicated? What's that dua? The Holy Prophet, what is the hint he gave to us? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeatedly and repeatedly, time and time again. So qasal is the word related to laziness, negligence. So Allah save me from qasal. That in the hadith is stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that so many times, not just regularly, repeatedly he recited this dua to Allah, so that the education was given to the ummah, that what will destroy you is laziness, negligence. And he told us the cure for this. Do you understand the cure or not? Tell me. Say Subhanallah. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gives us the cure, then it will be the greatest cure. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when laziness overcomes you, negligence overcomes you, and you waste your deeds due to laziness, this is such a big disease and illness that there's no cure for it in the world. There's no cure for it in the world. That's what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that whenever you feel lazy, laid back, you don't feel like doing it, there's only one cure at that time. What is that cure? That turn to Allah and seek refuge in Allah, protection from Allah at that time. That when all strength, when all powers finish, when all powers and energy finishes, you have no energy to do anything, you're totally bone idle, useless and distressed, then one door is open at that time. What is that door? Though Allah Ta'ala, you save me, Allah, you save me from this. Subhanallah. And this is a great door in front of Allah to seek and request, beseech Allah, a'udhu. Ya Allah, you save me. Allah, you protect me. Why? Listen. Because when you call out to Allah, when you cry to Allah, He is the one who listens, and He will never reject your call. He will never reject your request. I'll give you a small example so you understand this. That, for example, you are in need, and let's say there's a person who's powerful, strong. You're powerful, you're strong. And a weak person comes to you, he's poor, and he doesn't have anything. He says, please forgive, help me. And you know that he is in need, and he's honest, that person. Honest. Please help me, please assist me, he says to you, save me from this difficulty. And you have the power and you have the energy, you're capable of saving that person. Every good human being who has a good honesty and sincerity, he will try to help that person who's in need. Yes, definitely. He says, come, let me help you. When he sees his distress, he sees him crying, his sorrow, and that person who's being requested, he has the power and energy, capability, he says, come, I'll help you. Come to my house for a few days, stay with me. Will you give him protection or not? Tell me. Every person, even if a person is hard-hearted like a rock, and if someone comes to you who's down, crestfallen, broken-hearted, you say, come. Even the people who don't believe, non-Muslims, they give refuge, protection. Because this is the heart that Allah Ta'ala has created. There's a weakness in the heart that a human being has affection for the other human being. So my brothers, if a person, and that creator, Allah, who has all power and energy, and He distributes His power and energy, and He gives to everybody. And if someone goes to Allah and says, Allah, save me, will Allah not save us? Will Allah not save us? Will He say, run away, I don't want to save you, I don't want to help you? If a human being in the world can help you when you're in need, when he sees that you're in need, and if you turn to Allah and say, Allah, I'm stuck now, Allah, I'm trapped, I want to pray the Hajjud, Allah, save me from laziness. Allah, save me, give me that power, give me that strength. Awuz, ta'awuz. Seeking refuge in Allah, asking Allah for protection, assistance. This is a great end point for the human being when all other paths are blocked. Just as Yusuf alayhi salam, you've heard, read his story, when Zulaikha, she shut all the doors and she shut the door upon doors. She sealed him, come and do the action of immodesty with me. And Musa alayhi salam, subhanAllah, even his example. And Yusuf alayhi salam had no assistance at that time. Yusuf alayhi salam, then he did ruju ila Allah. He turned to Allah, all the doors are shut, sealed. There's no way out. But I don't accept my loss. I don't accept loss. Allah, you are my Rabb. Allah, I seek your assistance. Allah, save me. Allah, save me. And after doing it, he ran. And whichever door he'd go to, Zulaikha was behind him. And the door started to open. They started to open with Allah's will. So this story has been given to us so that you can create awareness, consciousness. Don't make excuses. Oh, I gave up. Oh, there's no way out. I couldn't pray Salah. I couldn't do this. Allah says, no. All these amal, if you want my pleasure and happiness, that tahajjud, where will you get my raza that compared to tahajjud? The my pleasure that you can get in the action of dhikr, can you get that anywhere else? So tomorrow, what answer will you give? Allah, I didn't do these actions of dhikr and tahajjud because I was lazy, laid back. And I said, if you were laid back and lazy, then why didn't you seek help from me? Say subhanallah. So I'll ask you a question now. About this whole gathering in the whole world that is listening to me, men and women, brothers and sisters, tell me, how many people are there out there today when they're faced with a challenge? They can't pray tahajjud, they can't pray ishraq, they can't pray chash, they can't do their dhikr, they don't do tilawat, they don't pray nawafil salah, they think it's not worth a takab, they think there's no value of nafil salah. And when they don't, I ask them a question. They're, okay, fine. You say you're lazy and you're weak. You say you're weak in other names, ignorance, laziness, weakness, bone idle. Ask you a question, that have you ever, that the Prophet ﷺ gave us a cure, that have you ever sought refuge and protection in Allah? Have you cried out to Allah for help? Nobody has done that. Tell me, what a big loss. And we have no yakin and certainty in Allah that He will help us. That if you'll go to a human being, knock on his door, help me brother, help me please. But we don't knock on Allah's door, that Allah is closer to us than our jugular veins. He knows every desire and want of us and thought of us. And Allah says, when you ask me, it is impossible that I will not give to you. Allah says, impossible I won't give to you, but you've never asked me, Allah says. You never asked me. If you asked me, pleaded to me, Allah, give me protection. Allah, I want to wake up in the morning for tahajjud. Because Allah, I can through tahajjud get your pleasure. Allah, my manzil is your radha, and I can't get your raza, happiness, without these actions. If I don't get your happiness and pleasure, Allah, then I'll depart this world without my destination, and I'll go into hellfire. But Allah, you send me to the world for your pleasure, and your pleasure is attained via tahajjud. Your pleasure is attained via dhikrullah. Your pleasure is attained via recitation of Quran. Your pleasure is attained via umrah and hajj. And these amal, why do I do these actions? What's the reason? So Allah, remove these veils and curtains of laziness, and Allah, make me the person who's regular in tahajjud. Subhanallah. So all of this is laziness. We don't do it. The Prophet said, sunnah, we don't practice it. We stand and drink water. Why don't you sit and drink water? Oh, I'll drink one day. We never sit and think. It's not that we don't believe in it, or you don't, you're kidding me. That how much value is then growing the beard? Growing the beard. But our hand doesn't allow us to grow the beard. On the day of judgment, we will be ashamed. Allah's Nabi Sallam, we will take his displeasure and anger. And the azab for this, there's no azab. Allahu Akbar, that you purposely break this sunnah. And today this is wajib. Allah has given hukum instruction. I'm giving you small examples. What excuse will you have? This is the disease, that if you are not growing your beard and you're not courageous enough, just tell me this enough. That have you ever woken up and said to Allah Ta'ala and made this dua? The Allah, give me the courage and strength that I can grow my beard. Never. We've never done this dua. Any sin, if you want to get rid of it, have you asked Allah for help? Allah, the Allah, I'm so habitual in listening to music. Allah, save me from music. Allah, keep on looking at girls and women. Allah, save me from looking at females. Allah, keep on swearing at people. Allah, save me from swearing. Allah, I've got shahwat, passion, lust in my heart. Allah, remove this from me. Allah, I've got shahwat, lust in the young life. Adolescence, a person has the lust and passion for women and girls. There's no shame in this. But did you ever ask Allah for help? Allah said, you are young, you are youth. But did you ask me for help? Allah said, there are thousands of women, I would have saved you from them. Thousands. But you never asked Allah for help. We don't ask Allah for help. We go towards the sin. Oh, I was forced to do it. Oh, I can't get married. Oh, Allah, look at this scene. Oh, at least with my hand, I'll do this, or I'll do this and that. At least ask from Allah. The Allah, this was your test exam. I know it's a test, an exam. You've given me this challenge. I want to get out of this challenge because the hurdles will come. I've got to break the barriers down, then I'll pass the test. And these barriers are the source of my success. And through this, I'll get uruj, high grade in the raft. Otherwise, this is not dunya. If the exam ends, then where's the challenge? So shahawat and lust, you give me lust, and you haven't given me the female, because Allah wants to see if you pass the test. That does he, through the lust and passion, scream out to me for help, that he doesn't go towards the sin, and he comes straight to Allah and asks for help. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So after today, from now on, all the actions, the good actions we have to do, those things that we don't have courage and determination, then plead and beg to Allah and do dua to Allah. That Allah, I want to pray the tahajjud, I want to be a zakir, I want to do good deeds. Why am I not doing it? What's the reason for this? Why am I bone-eyed? Why don't I do actions, Allah, for your raza? If I can't do the actions for your raza, I can do actions easily for your displeasure. I don't even do dua. I pick up the phone and all day and night I'll do the sins. All actions I'm prepared to do, but I don't do the actions of your raza. I do all the actions that earn your unhappiness and anger, but all other things that earn your pleasure. I say, what's the need for a beard? I don't need to pray the hajjum. I don't need to pray nafal. I prayed for salah. I don't need to do this. It's too strict. These all things look too small. Why do we have to do this if we didn't need to do this? Why would Allah create these actions then? Why did He manufacture these actions? We are desperately in need for doing these good deeds. Remember this. Desperately need. These aren't small deeds. Nafal, sunnahs, sunnah salahs, tahajjud, ishraq, chast, tasbihad, zikrullah. All these great rewards Allah has given in the kitabs with these actions. Why don't we do them? They're not minor things. They're not minor. We have to do them. Will we leave them? Say no. I won't leave these actions. I will plead and beg to Allah, allow me to pray tahajjud. Allah, make me a true ashik, a lover of the deen. That whatever the instruction of the Prophet comes, then I start practicing the sunnah. And I become a person who prays salah. Pray salah? Yeah, I pray salah. Where do you pray? Oh, I prayed at home. I prayed at home. I prayed at home today. The home is not the place for salah. The house is not the place for salah. It's not prayed at home. Allah Ta'ala hasn't said pray salah at home. Masjid. Yeah, sajda. The word sajda, masjid comes from sajda. Allah says, if you want to do sajda, go to the place of sajda. The masjid. Yes, pray nafal at home. That's fine. Nafal at home. Nafal salah pray at home. So where do you have to pray salah? Where do you have to pray salah? We're in the masjid. Why do we pray? I'm lazy. You say, what's laziness? I'll beg to Allah. Allah, make me a true servant who prays salah properly. Remember this. Two things remember. First lesson we've understood. What is that? Ask Allah for protection and refuge. Seek refuge in Allah. Ask Allah. Beg Allah for the good things. Allah, I want to do these things regularly. Allah, beg. Give this to me. And after that, the second thing, the second cure. What is that? First cure is beg to Allah. Ask from Allah. Second cure is courage and determination. What is that? Courage and determination. Yes, this is a fantastic quality. The human being that, for example, has Allah Ta'ala has given courage that you can pick up the big boulders and rocks. You can change the direction of the river flow. Allah has given us that much strength. That in the dunya, Allah says, there's no courage and determination in the world that can compare to a human being. That he can break down the mountains. He can block off the seas, the river flow, the direction. So much courage and strength and capability Allah has given to the human being that no strength can oppose him. No one has got more strength and courage than the human being. There's so much determination that when the human being makes a niyyah intention, I want to do this action, subhanAllah. Then after that, makes a solid niyyah, then he achieves that objective. He achieves that. If today I make an objective that I want to please Allah, subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. Yes, the question doesn't arise that I cannot achieve that. On one side is my true and solid intention. I'll do this. How can it be I won't do this? I challenge myself. It cannot be that I don't do it. What is it that can stop me from this, that I don't attain the nearness to my Rabb? Who is there that's going to come in my way? Tell me who's going to stop me from doing this. SubhanAllah. This is called the work of the human. Stop me if you can. Say to yourself. Stop me if you can. This is courage and determination. Proper niyyah. Ask Allah for help, assistance, protection from Allah. And on top of that, your courage, determination. And then Allah says, when you bring your courage, then the third thing Allah says, I'll give you the enjoyment of your action. See how you'll attain success. That all success that's happened in the history of mankind, the greatest of men and the success they attained in the world, they attained with these two things. These two things. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That Allah, I seek you for help, I do your ibadah, and Allah will try our best to attain the best things. And that person can never fail. He will never sit down. He'll change the direction of the dunya. The whole world will go to one side and one man will stand and he wins. He wins. I'm telling you the truth. Qiyamah, until Qiyamah, you will find examples of such people. Until Qiyamah. We weren't created for this. We're not just waste of time people. Have determination and courage. Why can't I pray Salah? Why can't I pray for everyone else? Why can't I do this? Why can't I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why can't I pray tahajjud salah? Why can't I wear the imam? Why can't I keep the beard as well? Everything, if you make intention that I'm going to do these actions for Allah's raza and pleasure, then stick to that. Attach yourself to that. Then Allah's rewards and assistance, the angels will come to you. The angels will come to you. In this masjid, on this prayer mat, I sit and I say this. Wallahi, I swear by Allah and promise that if you make niyyah for tahajjud and you have courage, then maybe once or twice your eyes will open. But the angels will come with their hands and they'll wake you up like this. They will shake your feet. I swear by Allah, the announcement will come into your ears. They will call you, why don't you get up? It's Jamaat time. Get up, why are you not getting up? Make friendship with Allah and see what happens. So two things have happened. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? There's no good deed under the sun that you make. If you, any good deed under the sun that you can earn Allah's pleasure, do not waste it. Any good deed through which you can get Allah's radha, Allah's pleasure, do not waste it. How do you waste it? That no, if you don't ask Allah for help, you don't ask Allah for protection, and you don't have the determination and courage. Two things if you do. Two things, inshallah, Allah willing, that deed, the action, Allah's raza, you will earn it, and with ease you will start to practice the action. Easily. Do you understand what I'm saying? May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do this. Third thing. Regularly, this is a gathering of dhikr, a majlis of dhikr. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Allah's Nabi says, what does he tell us? I'll present to you the meaning of the hadith. He said, O men, Allah's made it even easier for you to attain His nearness and protection. Allah Ta'ala has made it easier for us and strengthened the method so we can earn His pleasure and protection and refuge. Even if you say from your mouth and if you do that amal, that action, then that purely Allah's created the action to attain His protection, and it will destroy laziness and it will pass you through all the phases to the hereafter. What is the action? SubhanAllah. stated that ask Allah for protection, ta'awuz in Allah. And practically what do you need to do? Do the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr of Allah is the action of seeking Allah's protection. Zikr is protection. Zikr is the castle, the food of protection. Allah says you'll be protected, you'll come under the banner of Allah's protection. Say subhanallah. Say subhanallah. So three things from your tongue. Say Allah, I want your protection, I need your help. And have courage and determination and stand and practice. And those two strengths, if you want to strengthen them, then start doing the dhikr of Allah. Ruju ila Allah. Turn to Allah. What would you become? You'll become a ghaus and the qutb and the friend of Allah. And the best of all, greatest of all, the objective that me and you have been sent to this world, which is Allah's pleasure. Allah's rida. Radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah, you'll have the stamp, the seal on your back that Allah is happy with you. Ya ayyuhal nafsul mutmainna ila Allah. Ta'ala says, ya ayyuhan. Allah says in the Quran that, oh, if you want a heart which is content and peace, then irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhulu fi ibadi. Allah says that you, I'll be pleased with you and you'll be pleased with me. So will we do these actions, my brothers, these three actions? Very easily we've understood this. Easily. The laziness will disappear. The cure for laziness and the biggest disease that I've told you is laziness. And may Allah give us all the tawfiq to practice on this today. Ameen. Recite the Rushdie.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Alamin. As-salatu wa-salamu ala sayyidina al-Mursaleen. Shafi'in al-Mursaleen. Taha'ma yaseen al-Habib al-Ameen. Alama al-Balaati al-Fitni. Hasnatu wa billah. Khidati yasnatu wa billah. Hasnatu wa billah. Allahumma nasalukwa min khayyi wa ma'alakwa min sayyidina. Tadana taqbun min hainna. Tadana min hainna. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك واستغفرك اللهم صدقنا لما أحبتنا لما المحشر يوم القيامة ربنا حبنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين اللهم ربي ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله هماري مجلس کو قبول فرما يا الله هماري گناہوں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ ہماری نواب کو بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم